Hello, I'm Major Adrian Allman.
And I'm Captain Claire Allman.
Welcome to the Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army podcast series. Birmingham Citadel is a Christian church located in Birmingham city centre in the UK. This podcast is a recording of the Bible message that is shared during the Sunday worship service.
You can now watch our service online through live stream at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning, and can also find our stories and videos on our Facebook page and YouTube channel.
It's good to have you share with us, and as you listen, we pray that God will speak to you.
May you know God's abundant blessing today.
Well, they say that we all die twice. First, there is that moment, of course, when our heart stops and our brain goes silent. The second is the time where somewhere in the not too distant future when we die again after the last person who knew us and can recall us or talk about us also dies. And then we're really and truly gone from this earth. Few well-functioning people can escape the force of the question, and then what? Is this all that there is? Did I never matter? Will I never be heard of again? Following on with our 1 Thessalonians theme, this is the sort of questions the Thessalonians are asking. Basically, what happens next? What happens when we die? And it's no wonder they were asking that. Old habits die hard. They had so many pagan myths from their past that told them that all sorts of things about those who died. There was Sisyphus, who was destined to roll a boulder up a hill for all eternity. There was Tantalus, who was tantalized with food that was always just out of reach. And there were periods of thousand-year cycles where the dead would be tormented until they had repaid whatever wrong they had done in this life. And because of this background, they wondered if the same fate awaited those who died before Jesus' coming, his parousia, his royal return to reign and rescue his people, because they thought that it was going to be really soon, in their lifetime. They wondered and worried if those loved ones who had died since Paul preached the good news to them had missed the boat. And so Paul comforted them and wanted them to comfort one another that this was not the case. Paul was breaking new ground here. He realized that he hadn't taught the Thessalonian Christians what had happened to believers who died whilst waiting Jesus' return. Keep in mind that Paul was able to remain in Thessalonica only for a short time, as little as 3 weeks, they say. So the amazing thing is that he was able to establish a viable church in that short time. But he recognized that he failed to teach those new Christians the whole body of the Christian doctrine, which, after all, was in the process of being formed still. This was one of Paul's first ever letters to a Christian church. So he was still kind of making it up as he went along, learning what problems existed and finding ways to address them. So this is where the Thessalonians find themselves. Death leaves many questions and uncertainty in all of our minds. We don't understand why this has to happen. And at such days as today, our hearts are sad at the many lives that were lost and continue to be because of war and conflict around the world. And we wonder what was next for all those lives lost. And so this passage from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians is wonderfully apt for Remembrance Day. So he starts in verse 13 and 14 and says, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." Paul makes a connection between Jesus' death and the death of those we grieve for. So it's not inappropriate for us on this day when we mark the sacrifice of those who died in the wars to make the connection with Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. It's hard to rank horribleness. Dying in a gas attack in Flanders Field versus dying in a machine gun fire versus dying naked nailed to 2 pieces of wood on the hill of Calvary. You can't rank that, can you? It's just all horrible. In war, one person's heroism, one person's sacrifice can save a whole unit or a whole battalion. And we believe as Christians that years ago, one man's heroism, one man's sacrifice saved a whole lot more. That even the horrors of war and death, that even in that, there is hope. Because in dying, Jesus defeated death. Paul writes, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. If death has been defeated, then the deaths of those who die fighting for democracy and freedom, and indeed even the deaths of those who died conscripted or brainwashed in the forces of Nazism or Islamic State or even Russia today, need not be in vain. These words Paul writes are also such an encouragement to anyone who has lost a loved one, whether through war, illness, or old age. It's a message that goes to the heart of the good news of the gospel, that our whole journey with Christ is one that has its ultimate conclusion in eternal paradise. The church at Thessalonica was a young one, but already it seems as though there had been deaths, and Paul is responding to this outpouring of grief with words of encouragement to a people who he was particularly fond of. He had been working among them, earning his living as a tent maker and rubbing shoulders with them day by day. These were friends every bit as much as members of congregation. And Paul must have felt it was vital for the people to realize that although they believed wholeheartedly in the resurrection of Jesus and were already waiting for his triumphant return, they also needed the reassurance that they too would share in that resurrection. So Paul gives a vision of what the Lord's return will look like to help prepare them and know what to look out for. He says this, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever." And this is a picture that would be familiar to the people, as described later by a preacher in the 4th century, John Chrysostom, when he says this, "When a king made his entry into a city, certain ones among the dignitaries, the chief officials and those who were in good standing with the king, would go out to meet him, whilst criminals and those on trials would keep within the city to await sentence. In the same manner, says the preacher, when the Lord will come, the first group will go out to meet him with assurance, whilst those who are conscious of their sins will wait below for their judge." Paul, following the example of Jesus in using familiar images to express the truth of the gospel message. And it's a truth that needs emphasizing not only on Remembrance Day, but every day. We live in a world where people are searching for reassurance, for hope, for identity and fulfillment, and so many are looking anywhere but towards the church. What do these people see in our lives and hear in our words as representative of Christ's body here on earth? Do we give the impression that we have deep in our hearts a conviction of Paul that death is not an end but only a beginning? And if not, then why are we not asking the questions of ourselves, what is the hope which I have been called? You know, I'm not sure we live today with the same urgency and perhaps even belief and excitement of death and the second coming of Jesus like the Thessalonians did. Perhaps it's because so much time has passed and already that we don't think about the second coming in the same way they did, or maybe we just don't expect it to happen in our lifetime. Lots of people have tried to predict the end times, and those predictions have come and gone, and we're still here. So Paul explained to the Thessalonians what will happen when Jesus comes again and reassures them that they haven't missed out on it. In the second part of our Bible reading, he then goes on to talk about the times and the dates of this parousia and what they needed to do to prepare. And this is for us all because we're still waiting. So how do we prepare for his coming? Well, firstly, we prepare for his coming by remembering. Now, as a preacher, sometimes we preach and we teach new things to Christians. But often what we preach is reminding Christians of what has already been taught and encouraging you to live that out. And Paul reminded them that they knew the Lord would return, even if they did not know the day. They also knew God would judge evil, even if they did not know exactly when. They also knew that God willed them to live each day guided by faith, hope, and love. If each of us are followers of Jesus, believers of such knowledge, live based on what we already know, what we can remember, then it follows that we'll be prepared for tomorrow, whatever tomorrow brings. So Paul reminds them of how they should be living in preparation, and he does this by referring to two types of children and makes some comparisons. He talks about children of darkness, living in the darkness, children of darkness, and their characteristics are that they don't expect Jesus to return, that they suffer a false optimism regarding their future, that they live unprepared for the coming judgment, that they'll not escape the day of the Lord and are destined for the wrath of God. And then secondly, he talks about children of light. Their characteristics, that they expect the Lord's return, that they enjoy a valid optimism regarding the future, that they live prepared for the coming judgment, that they live out faith, hope, and love, and they possess salvation. And Paul encourages them to remember that they are children of God and reminds them of what that means. And in so doing, that helps them to prepare for Jesus' coming. So the question for us all just now is, are we living as children of the light? Secondly, we prepare for his coming by resting assured. Do you have any friends that you can rely on? Do you have a friend that you know you can absolutely rely on for anything? Or if they promise to do something, you know that they'll follow it up. Well, the promises of Jesus made to his church are even more reliable. He has promised that one day he'll return in glory and judgment and give some insight into when that will be. Paul uses two word pictures to describe his return, the Lord's return. He first talks about a thief in the night. Jesus isn't coming to steal, but just as the arrival of a thief, Jesus' return will be unexpected. A thief doesn't call ahead. Suddenly implies a surprise, or for some it may well be a shock, an unexpected event. But we need to live as though, as best we can, as children of light, so this isn't a shock but more of a surprise when he returns. He also uses this picture of a pregnant woman. Now, how does that experience compare, of labor, compared to the Lord's return? Well, these labor pains, they come unexpectedly. When they first begin, you're not quite sure. But as it progresses, there are more and more signs that it's really happening. Verse 3 in this chapter says, "And they will not escape. The coming of the Lord is an inescapable as labor at the end of a normal pregnancy." And I remember thinking when I was giving birth to both of my girls that I wish it could just stop. But of course, it couldn't. Paul says that the day of the Lord and the judgment that attends it is inevitable and unavoidable. He has promised this. Can you rest assured in his promises? Are you prepared? Thirdly, we prepare for his coming by living in anticipation. Paul told the church the Lord was coming one day and he wanted them to be prepared. Some will not be ready for it. He tells them not to get drunk and stumble about in the darkness, having no control. And I read a little bit into this. Why does he specifically say this? And one commentary says that Paul specifically talks about this because Dionysus, I think that's how you pronounce it, who was the god of wine, was really worshipped by the Thessalonians. And the nighttime celebrations to this god had this reputation of being frenzied, drunken events. And the Thessalonians are being called from the worship of dead idols like this to serve the living God and therefore should no longer participate in such events. Instead, Christians should be alert and work while waiting for Jesus to return rather than be idle around and get up to no good. He suggests that just as a person puts on a uniform when they go to work, perhaps, or put your work clothes on, we put on an armor which we use as we live our daily Christian life. Faith and love as the breastplate that protects the heart, and the hope of salvation is the helmet that guards the mind. Faith is that certain knowledge of God, his promises and salvation. Love is yielding to God in joyful obedience. And hope, which looks to the future, is an assurance of salvation which goes hand in hand with obedience. The breastplate, the helmet, are the spiritual defenses we have against this world. And with them in place, will we be ready for the day of Christ's return. Predicting the date will not prepare a person for the return of the Lord. Those ready in anticipation will be those who are born again and believe and live like it. And finally, we prepare for his coming by encouraging others. You know, this is one of my favorite ever verses in the Bible that says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as you are doing. In times of anxiety and strife, Christians cannot go it alone, nor should they try. We are responsible to one another for encouragement and bolstering in that faith, love, and hope. Others need our support in being Christian, and we need theirs. We must be about encouraging one another in our Christian lives, not finding fault and pulling each other down. That's how wars start. Our destiny as Christian is all to the same place, to that eternal place. How does a church prepare for the Lord's return? By living his love and sharing his truth. The message of Remembrance Day is the message that lies at the core of our faith, that death is not the end because Jesus has defeated death. It's a message of hope. And on a day like today, we need a message of hope, don't we? For all those people who have died in conflict, I believe they fought because they had hope, hope in their cause. And we can take a leaf out of that book as Christians today and have hope and faith in our cause, the Saviour. And just as Jesus was raised up to be with his Heavenly Father, so shall we be raised up in the eternity that is the hope and centre of our faith. This is the faith to which we have been called. It is a hope that can sustain us through all manner of difficulty and hardship. So I wonder, when the time comes, are you going to be ready? Are you holding out in hope and walking in confidence? Well, to give you time to reflect on this, we're going to listen to a beautiful song that's called When the Time Comes. And as we listen, give thought to how ready you are. Are you prepared for when he calls or comes again? Are you living as children of light? Let's listen to the song.
How I want to be. Oh,
let's pray. Our gracious eternal Lord, the ancient words of Paul echo our souls this day. We are so much like the people of the Thessalonian church and its culture. We want to have glimpses of the future so that we might know that we are secure. We want to have the security to know that tomorrow will be all right. We want to have a life all buttoned down and figured out so that there'll be no surprises. We want you to rid us of all anxiety and worry and fear. We want to know that when the time comes for us and the great call is heard, that we'll be safe. We want all darkness and uncertainty removed from our lives. Become alive for us again in these quiet moments. We pray that in this teachable moment, you would again open up to us your powerful and gracious filled presence. Lead our spirits to find the courage to say all will be well because we are yours. Lead our spirits to find the ability to live one moment and one day at a time. Lead our spirits to serenity and a peace which the world cannot give. Lead our spirits to know that with your power we can cope with whatever surprises life presents to us. Lead our spirits to know that we are destined not for wrath, but for your redeeming. And lead our spirits to know that whether we wake or sleep, living or dying, we are yours into the ages of all ages. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast this week.
So you don't miss any further recordings, please subscribe to this podcast and also share and review it to help other people find and join our Birmingham Citadel online congregation.
This has been a production for Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army in the United Kingdom. If you'd like to know more about us or want to worship with us, then visit our webpage at birminghamcitadel.co.uk.